We're beginning the seventh perek, but first we're going to look on Samach Zayin Amid Beis, where the perek begins with the mission of Klal Gadol. Klal Gadol Amru B'Shabbos. We have it?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So this is a great rule in Shabbos with regard to Shogeg. And Shogeg means, as we'll see, someone who's not deliberate in his violation of Shabbos. And we start with Kol HaShokheach Ikar Shabbos, someone who is completely unaware of Shabbos. Let's say he never heard about Shabbos. That's a Tinok Shenishba, or perhaps he once knew about Shabbos, but it's been years and years since his Hebrew school education in his youth, so decades have gone by and he's forgot about Shabbos. V'asa melachos harbe b'shabbosos harbe, so he's violated many different melachos on many different shabbosos. Eino chayev ela achas, he only has to bring one chatos for his shogeg, because all of his violations over the course of years and decades were all basically caused and could be attributed to the one fact that he doesn't know about Ikar Shabbos. So there's one shogeg and one chatos. Then we get to another case. We'll call this Roman numeral number 2, Hayodea Ikar Shabbos. He knows about Shabbos, he knows about the entity of Shabbos, V'yosa melachos harbe v'shabbosos harbe. But although he once knew about Shabbos, but it's been a long time and he's in a different track, he's being raised perhaps in a non-Jewish environment, and he violates many melachos and many shabbosos. In such a case, since he knows about the entity of Shabbos, he's been taught about Shabbos, he has forgotten, but he knew about Shabbos, is chayav al kol Shabbos v'Shabbos. Each Shabbos is a separate shgoga, because every time we get to the seventh day of the week, he could be responsible to remember what he knew in his youth about Shabbos. Then we have the third principle, Hayodea hu Shabbos, V'asa melachos harbe v'shabbosos harbe. He knows about Shabbos, but you know what? He forgets on each Shabbos exactly what Shabbos prohibits. He lost his track, so to speak, as far as the melachos are concerned. So, for example, if he cuts the wheat in the field, he had forgotten about the fact that the Torah on Shabbos prohibits that. If he grinds kernels of wheat into flour, he has forgotten about that. So in such a case, the Mishnah says, Chayav al kol av melacha umelacha. Every time he forgets a melacha, his responsibility, so to speak, is because he forgot about that melacha, he didn't learn enough about that melacha. Each melacha is a separate shogeg and requires its own chatos. Ha'osa melachas harbe mi'ein melacha achas, einu chalef ela achas. But if he does a violation of a certain melacha and its similar kinds of melachas, let's give an example, he cooks and he bakes because he forgot about Shabbos, is eino chayev el chatas achas. He only brings one chatas, because the two melachas are very, very similar. They belong to one single av. So now we're on daf samaches amid aleph. We're going to start the Gemara. That's the daf for today. My timer. The Gemara.
Quick question. Just halacha. I'm curious. How does this Mishnah apply halachically to somebody, say, with dementia?
I don't know. I'd have to think about that. It's a great question. You know what? I forgot the answer to your question. That was supposed to be a joke. Nobody laughed, but okay. My timer, Tana Klal Gadol. Why does the Mishnah use this phrase, Klal Gadol? A great rule. Ilei mishum de kaboy le misne. Od Klal Gadol. Acher, od klal acher, perhaps later on in the Mishnah. The Mishnah, in this perek, I should say, the Tana is going to have a Mishnah on Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph. And that's also a klal. But this klal at the beginning of our perek is a klal gadol, as if to say, relative to another klal, this is a major klal. The Gemara doesn't explain exactly why this rule is more important than the next rule, and we'll try to figure that out as we go along. And the Gemara wants to bring support to this, Gabi Shvius Nami, with regard to the Mishnayis of Masechta Shvius. There's a klal gadol omru b'shvius. So we see that sometimes when the Mishnayis in a certain Masechta want to present a major rule and then a relatively secondary rule, it uses in the opening Mishnah in a certain chapter klal gadol, that phrase. And therefore, mishum de kaboy lemisne od klal acher, that in the Mishnayis, in Shvius, in that perek, it's the seventh perek also in Masechta Shvius, the Mishnah wants to have a second klal, and therefore Tana klal gadol, he opens with the first rule by calling it a klal gadol. And again, you could always wonder, why is the first klal considered more important than another, than the second? So now the Gemara has a problem with a different Masechta, and that's Masechta Masros. V'agabi Maser, the Ketoni Klal Acher, in the Masechta of Maser, we have a perek, a chapter in Masros, which has two different klolim in it, and the opening klal is just called a klal, and the second one is a klal, V'lotoni Klal Gadol. He doesn't use that extra word klal gadol to give it some sort of primary significance. So don't tell me that the word klal gadol is there because there's something unique about the first klal in contrast to the second, because if we would apply that to the case of Masechta Masros, then the Mishnah should have employed the word klal gadol when it projected the first major rule. So the Gemara says the following: Omar Rab Yossi Bar Ovin, Shabbos u'Shvius. What's common to both Shabbos and Shvius that justifies the use of the phrase Kal Gadol is the Ispahu Avos V'Toldos. Both involve Molochos, the 39 Molochos that are prohibited on Shabbos. On Shvius we have two, maybe four malachos, and then we have toldos. Is Tana Gadol. So he uses the phrase Gadol to indicate that we're talking about avos, we're talking about very all-encompassing categories of labor. And then, in the next klal, we'll go on to the more minutia and the details. But Maser, the lespe avos toldos, right? Maser is not an iser molacha. Maser is just a chiv to give 1/10 of one's produce to the levi, lo tana klal gadol. So this seems to be a very logical presentation to explain when and under what conditions does the Bala Mishnah use the term gadol. But the Gemara says, this is not going to work out according to Bar Kapora. Ula Bar Kapora, he has a different girsa in the Mishnah, and according to his girsa, he's one of the Tanoim, the Tani. He has in Maser, Klal Gadol b'Maser, he also has in Maser, Klal Gadol, my Ovos and my Toldos Ika. Gemara is asking a rhetorical question, are there Ovos and Toldos in Maser? Maser has nothing to do with an Isra Malach at all. So therefore, we have to come up with another presentation as to why the Mishnah employs the term gadol. Elolav hainu taima gadol onsho shel Shabbos Yosef Mishal Shvius. Now at this point, the Gemara is going to create a kind of a chadgadia, meaning a kind of hierarchy, and we're going to have onshim and punishments, the most severe of which is Shabbos, and that's called Klal Gadol. Then we're going to get to Shvius, which is a lower kind of punishment. That also is Klal Gadol, and Klal Gadol now is always relative to what's lower on the totem pole. And Klal Gadol and Shvius is indicating that relative to Masros, it's called Gadol. And the word Gadol, in this context, could also indicate the scope of a prohibition. The greater the scope, the greater is the rule. It's called Gadol. So let's take Shabbos and look at the scope of Shabbos and compare it to Shvius. De'ilu Shabbos isa bein b'tolush bein b'mechubar. In other words, the Isurim of the 39 Melachas apply whether or not the growth, the produce is growing, it's still attached to the ground, or it's already been cut, it's already been harvested. So for example, in the case of Melechas Kotzer, that only applies when it's Mechubar, when it's attached to the ground and it's growing, and you detach it. But in the case, for example, of Tochein, of grinding, that applies when it's Tolush. So that Shabbos has a broad scope. The Ilu Shvius, but if we compare this to the prohibitions to work the land on the seventh year, B'Tolush Lesa, B'Mechubar Isa, the scope of the Isa Shvius is limited. It only applies to Mechubar, only something that is attached to the karka. And the Torah says, for example, that on the seventh year, the Torah says that you shouldn't cut down your produce, you should open your fields for the poor people, etc. But if you've already cut it down, and it's tolush, then there's no iser malacha in tolush. In Shvius, once it's tolush, it has kedusha Shvius. There are certain prohibitions that apply, but the prohibitions that apply to Meleches Karka specifically are limited to Mechubar. And now we're up to the next relativity theory. So we have Klal Gadol of Shabbos vis-a-vis Shvius, because Shabbos has a greater scope than Shvius. Now we have a second relativity theory. We go down the hierarchy, and now we're comparing Shvius to Maser. Gadol Onsha Shel Shvius Yosem in a Maser. We have a greater scope in Shvius, the prohibitions of Shvius, than we have in Maser, and therefore, relative to Maser, Shvius is called a Klal Gadol. The Ilu Shvius Isa Bein B'Machal Adam Bein B'Machal Behema. The scope of Shvius includes not only human food, but even animal food. And this is based on Psukim in the Torah in the Parsha of Shemitah, at the end of Sefer Vayikra. We'll read about it this Shabbos. But Maser, Ilu Maser B'Machal Adam Isa B'Machal Behema Lesa. If you have foodstuff that is only edible to a human being, and it's not edible, I'm sorry, to an animal, and it's not edible to a human being, then there's no chiyuv maser. Maser only applies to that which is roi l'achilas adam. So the Gemara has a problem now, because if klal gadol means it's got to be relative and a greater scope to something that's lower on the totem pole, then Labar Kapara de Tony Klal Gadol B'Maser, in the Mishnah of Bar Kapara, even in Maser, there's a Klal Gadol. Then it must be that Maser has a greater scope than something below it. So the Gemara says, Gadol Onshel Shel Maser Yoser Mishel Peah, that the scope of Maser is greater than that of Peah. De'ilu maser isa b'te'eno v'yerek, v'ilu pe'el lesa b'te'eno v'yerek. The difference between maser and pe'el, maser means that whether or not I have fruits, grains, vegetables, everything is included. So for example, te'ena, which is a fig, that's a fruit. Yerek means vegetables. All of the above are included in maser. Now here, we have to be very careful, because here we're introducing derabbanos. Until now we were addressing doraisas. Maser, on a doraisa level, applies to A, the five species of grains, B, zeisim, olives, and C, anovim, grapes. A te'ena, for example, a fig, is not included in maser. What the Gemara means here is that the Rabbanon extended maser to apply to all fruits, not just to zeisim v'anovim, and to all vegetables. But pe'ah, which means that you have to leave a corner of your field for the aniyim, let's say 1/60th of your field, that doesn't apply to anything but grains. And it certainly doesn't apply to figs and vegetables, not even on a drabbanon level. So therefore, according to Bar Kappara's Girsa, we could justify Klal Gadol in Maser, because Maser, relative to Pe'ah, has a broader application. Disnan, we have a mission in Pe'ah. If we have time later, I want to tell you a funny story about Pe'ah. Klal Amru B'Pe'ah, we have a principle in Pe'ah. The Torah says in Pe'ah, Upekutzuchem es Ktzir Artzuchem, which means that the introduction to Pe'ah is the harvest of the five species of grains, and the following conditions apply to Pe'ah, meaning only if all the following conditions are met, only then are you chayav in Pe'ah. What are these conditions? Number one, kol shu ochel, it's got to be something that's fit for human consumption. Number two, nishmar means that is something that you would watch. You're the owner of the field, it's worth X amount, and therefore you make sure that it's protected. Gidulo min ha'aretz, it only applies to that which grows on the ground. Lekitoso ka'achas, something that can harvest in one fell swoop. And the Gemara is going to tell us soon what's excluded. And machniso lekiyu, in other words, it has a long shelf life, so to speak. Then, if you have all these conditions, let's count up how many we have. It's got to be ochel, it's got to be nishmar, it's got to be gedulah min haaretz, it's got to be likutos kachas, and machnis lekiyu. It's got to be five conditions. Then, he's chayav in Pe'ah. So now the Gemara goes through each one of these five conditions. Number one, ochel, it's got to be fit for human consumption. Lima'ute sfiche sotis v'kotza. So these are certain kinds of weeds and growths that grow from the ground. In English, these are translated as wod, W-O-A-D, matter, M-A-D-D-E-R. And these plants are not edible for human consumption. It could be that in some cases animals would eat these plants that are used to make dyes. But it's not human food, and it's excluded from Pe'ah. Nishmar, something that you protect, it means you put a fence around the field, is lemute hefker. But let's say there's a field of hefker, and the Gemara is going to try to analyze, well, if the field is hefker, then who would be chayav in Pe'ah? But it means that once it was hefker at a certain point in the development of the grains, and now you acquire ownership on it, that hefker completely removes it from Pe'ah. And even though now it's yours, once it was hefker at that moment in time, then you're parted from Pe'ah. Gidula minaretz is something that grows from the ground. Lemuute kmin upichios, various types of mushrooms that grow from the water and not from the ground. Lukitosu kaachas lemuute te'ena. Now a te'ena fig grows in seasons. Different figs ripen at different times. You can never actually harvest all of your figs at the same time. And if we were learning Masechta Peah, we would see how we derive this exclusion of something that's not lekitoso ka'achas. Machniso lekium lemute yerek. Yerek is not something that has a long shelf life, and therefore it doesn't. It's not included under this category. Now, we say that maser, according to Bar Kapara, also is a klal gadol. So we're now going to see how relative to peah, maser has a broader scope. Klal omru b'maser, and now we're back to Masechta Masros. Kol shu ochel v'nishmar v'gidulo min ha'aretz chayav b'maser. We only have 3 out of the 5 conditions that we had in peah. We need ochel, nishmar lafuki, we said excludes hefker, and gidula min ha'aretz, excluding mushrooms and the like. V'yu l'kitoso kachas machnisa l'kium lotnan. The additional 2 conditions that apply to peah, to exclude, for example, figs, which are not collected and not harvested together, they ripen at different stages, or certain vegetables, we mentioned leeks and turnips and other kinds of vegetables that do not fit that category, that requirement of machnis l'kium, these conditions are not applicable to maser, so that maser has a wider scope, and it applies even to things that are not l'kitoso ka'achas, and they are not machnis l'kium. So that maser would apply, at least on a drabbanan level, as we indicated earlier, to things like figs and vegetables, whereas peah doesn't apply. So therefore it's called a klal gadol. Okay, Rabosai, now we start perek klal gadol. Until now, we were involved in trying to understand why Rebbe calls it klal gadol, and when does Rebbe consistently use that phrase klal gadol. Now we start analyzing our mission. Ravu Shmuel, the Amru Travayu, Masnisin, which means the first category of our Mishnah, which says that you chayv only one chatas for all the Shabbosos and all the Malachas that you violated, Betinok Shenishba Lemein HaGoyim, a Jewish child who is raised in a monastery, who is raised amongst or by non-Jews, he never knew about Shabbos. At some point, he was saved and taken out of the monastery and raised as a Jew. He finally realizes, oh no, I've been violating Shabbos for decades. Alternatively, Gershon is Gaya Leben HaGoyim. There was a conversion, but he was raised by Gentiles. Now, how could a person be converted and not know about Shabbos? This is a major issue, because conversion requires what's called Kabbalas Mitzvos. So, did he not know about Shabbos? And some want to derive from this Gemara that we're reading here that you can have a valid gerus even if the potential ger is given a sampling of mitzvahs, and that sampling of mitzvahs might not even include Shabbos. Again, there is such a shita. We don't accept that shita, but the Gemara seems to be at that face value, without giving you all the pilpulim, to assume that you can have gerus without a convert knowing a thing about Shabbos. Avol hikir ula besof shachach. But if he was raised in a Jewish environment, and at some point in his education as a Jew, he was taught about Shabbos, he forgot about Shabbos. Ask him about Shabbos, he blanks out. Chayev I'll call Shabbos v'Shabbos. This is the Shita of Rav and Shmuel, that if at one point in his life, this Ger or this Tinok Shenishpa was taught about Shabbos, and then he forgets about Shabbos, he gets so involved in his life and its complexities that he actually forgets about Shabbos, then since he once knew about Shabbos, he has to bring a chatas for every single Shabbos that he violated. Could you imagine if he's violated 52 Shabbosim for 10 years? I mean, that's going to cost him a pretty penny. But the good news is that Rabbi Yochanan is going to disagree, but we'll get to Rabbi Yochanan soon. Right now, we're only we're on the page of Rav and Shmuel. Now the Gemara raises the following question. According to Rav and Shmuel, how are we going to interpret our Mishnah? There are various parts of our Mishnah. The Mishnah starts by saying, again, we always have to keep one finger on the Mishnah here. The Mishnah starts by saying, Kol HaShocheach Ikar Shabbos. Kol HaShocheach Ikar Shabbos. Now, the word Shocheach would seem to indicate that he knew something and then forgot it. Lav michlal dahavi leyediyah meikara. Should we not assume, therefore, that he knew about Shabbos? It's not talking about a tinuk shenishba. So the Gemara now forces Rav and Shmuel into a corner. They're going to have to reinterpret the word shocheach. Lo, not the way you understood the word shocheach. Mike, what does it mean? Quote: Kol hashocheach ikar Shabbos. The hoisa shachuach mimenu ikara shel Shabbos. In other words, the word shocheach is not a verb that describes an action, he forgot, but rather it's a description of Shabbos vis-a-vis the person. The Shabbos itself was shachuach meikara. From its inception, from its beginning, it was shachuach. Shachuach means he never knew about it. We had this, I don't know if any of you were in my Bav Metzia class. In Bav Metzia, we also had something called Shachuach Meikara, where a person was cutting down his field, and he was unaware, or he had pollen working in his field, he was unaware that there was a certain Omer. Omer means a sheath, and it was placed on the side, and he didn't know about it. And the question is that called Shichacha, with regard to Matnas Aniyim? Anyway, there's something called Shachuach Me'ikara. It was forgotten, so to speak, from the beginning. He never ever knew about it. The Gemara says that you're still not in the clear. Even if I would accept your reinterpretation of the word Shocheach, you're telling me, Aval Hikir Ulbesof Shachach, if he once knew about Shabbos, and then he forgot about Shabbos, then he'd be Chayav Al Kol Shabbos v'Shabbos. That's already in a different category, because once he knew about Shabbos, he's somewhat guilty for every single Shabbos that he forgets. If that be the case, then Adetoni, when the Mishnah mentions Hayodea Ikar Shabbos, now we go to the second case in the Mishnah. Again, we have to keep a finger on the Mishnah. The Mishnah's second case was Yodea Ikar Shabbos. And the Gemara asks the following. In this case, where the Mishnah paskins that he has to bring a separate chatas for each Shabbos that he violated, is Adetoni Yodea Ikar Shabbos V'yosem Olochas Harbe B'Shabbosos Harbe Chayv Al Kol Shabbos V'Shabbos. So he violates many Shabbosos and many Molochas. In a case of Yodea Ikar Shabbos, he brings one Chatos. For each Shabbos, he brings a separate Chatos. Is listening, it should have said, Hikir Ulevasov Shachach V'Kolshken Ha. In other words, the Mishnah should have taught me a greater Chiddush. That's always a rule in Mishnayos, to teach me a greater Chiddush. Teach me the case of someone who once knew about Shabbos, but then he forgot about Shabbos, and he doesn't remember the entity of Shabbos. And let's explain the Kolshken, and then we'll come back to explain the Gemara. The Kolshken Ha, and certainly, in the case of someone who right now knows about Shabbos, but he forgot that this is Shabbos. Meaning, the Gemara thinks that this simple reading of Hayodei Iker Shabbos, etc., is that he forgot today is Shabbos. He mistakenly thought today is Friday, or today is Sunday. Why do you tell me in that case that he has to bring a separate chatos for each Shabbos? Tell me a bigger chiddush, that even in a case where he learned about Shabbos in his youth, but he's completely forgotten about Shabbos, he was raised again in a different environment, that even in that case he has to bring a separate chatos for each Shabbos. And that's what Rav and Shmuel were implying, because Rav and Shmuel say that what's the case where you bring only one chatos for all your violations, for a lifelong of violations? That's only the case where he was never taught Shabbos. But if he once knew about Shabbos, he got it in his Hebrew school when he was a youth, and then years and years went by and he forgot totally about the enterprise of Shabbos. To him, Saturday was just another day of the week, maybe a good day to play golf or something. He doesn't know anything about Shabbos. And in that case, according to Rav and Shmuel, it would seem that he should be chai for each Shabbos and Shabbos. And that doesn't appear in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah talks about a case where he knows about Shabbos, but he forgot that today was Shabbos. He mistakenly thought that today was a weekday. So the Gemara now again reinterprets the Mishnah. My, what does it mean, quote, Hayodea Iker Shabbos? Misha Hayodea Iker Shal Shabbos Ushechacha. He once knew about Shabbos, he learned about Shabbos in his youth, and he forgot about Shabbos. Oh, now the Gemara says on Daf Samach Ches Amid Beis, the implication of what you're telling me in your interpretation of the Mishnah is Aval Lo Shchacha Mai. In a case where he did not forget about the essence of Shabbos, he just forgot about this Shabbos. In other words, he mistakenly identified today as Friday. Is chayav al kol melachu melacha. Then according to the way you're interpreting the Mishnah, the first case of the Mishnah is he was never taught Shabbos. The second case of the Mishnah, he learned about Shabbos in his youth, but he's forgot about the whole enterprise of Shabbos. In the first case, he brings one chatas for all his violations. In the second, he brings a chatas for each violation of Shabbos. The next case on your list, going down the totem pole, would have to be a case where he forgot that today is Shabbos. And then you're telling me then how is that third case, how does it cash in terms of chatos? Chayav al kol melacha melacha. Right? Anytime he identifies today as a Friday mistakenly, he's going to be chayav a separate chatos on every melacha that he violates. Is then, adatani, now we read the third part of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, in the third case, Hayodea Shu Shabbos, the Asa Malachas Harbe B'Shabbos is Harbe. He knows that today is Shabbos, and then he brings a Malacha, a separate Chatos for each Malacha. Is Adatoni Hayodea Shu Shabbos, the Asa Malachas Harbe B'Shabbos is Harbe, Chayva Kol Malacha Malacha. Listening, it should have said, Hayodea Iker Shabbos, he knows about Shabbos, and he forgot that today is Shabbos. The Kolshkein Ha, according to your pshat, that if, because again, we have case number one, he never knew about Shabbos. Case number two, he knew about Shabbos, but he forgot the entire enterprise of Shabbos. Case number three, he didn't know today was Shabbos, and he's chayav for each melacha. So why does the Mishnah introduce in the third round, where he's chayav for each melacha, a case where he knows it's Shabbos, but he doesn't remember the melachas? Tell me he doesn't even know it's Shabbos. And Kol Shekhen, how much more so, if he knows it's Shabbos, he's going to be chayav for each melacha. Tell me a bigger chiddush, that even if he only forgot that today is Shabbos, he still has to pay up for every single melacha. Is listeni ayodea ikar Shabbos, and he knows about Shabbos. He forgot that today was Shabbos, and he brings a separate chatas for each melacha. The kol shekein on, how much more so in a case where he knows that today is Shabbos? Elo, but rather, says the Gemara, and now the Gemara is sort of backtracking in order to defend Rav and Shmuel. Elamas Nisan Kishehikir Lebesov Shachach. When the Mishnah opens up and says Kol Hashochach Iker Shabbos, it must be a case of someone who knew about Shabbos and he forgot the enterprise of Shabbos. Uderavu Shmuel nami b'shehikir l'besof shachach tomi. In other words, what Rav and Shmuel were pointing out was not relevant to the interpretation of our Mishnah. Rav and Shmuel were only making a case, a ruling, for the halacha of someone who never knew about Shabbos. And Hachi Itmar, let's reformulate Rav and Shmuel. Rav and Shmuel, the Amri Travayu Tinuk Shenishba Ben Agoyim Oger, Vinisgayel Ben Anachri, Kehiker, the Chof Adimion, Kehiker, the Basov Shachach Domi, the Chayov. In other words, the Mishnah itself in the first case is talking about someone who knew about Shabbos and he forgot about Shabbos. In the second case, he knows about Shabbos, but he mistakenly identifies this day as Friday or Sunday. In such a case, he brings one chatas for every Shabbos. In the third case, he knows that today is Shabbos, he's unaware of the malachos, and he brings a separate chatas for each malacha. The case that Rav and Shmuel were addressing of the Tinok Shenishba, the Ger Sheniskayer Ben Agoyim, that was a separate ruling, which Rav and Shmuel equated that category with someone who knew once in his childhood about the enterprise of Shabbos, but he has since subsequently forgot about the enterprise in Shabbos. So what we're really doing now in this reinterpretation of Rav and Shmuel is, in a sense, I mean, don't take me literally, we're sort of expanding the first case in the Mishnah. When the Mishnah opens in the Reisha with Kol HaShochech Iker Shabbos, it really refers and encompasses two different categories, two different cases. A case of someone who learned about Shabbos but has forgotten about Shabbos. He doesn't know today about the enterprise of Shabbos. If you gave him a quiz question and asked him what is Shabbos, he would say it's the seventh day of the week. That's all he knows. And someone who never ever knew about Shabbos. They're both included in the opening line of the Mishnah. Again, don't take me literally, because really what Rav and Shmuel, they're making a separate chiddush, that someone who never learned about Shabbos, never knew about Shabbos, he was a Tinok Shenishba, was raised in a monastery, he has the same status as someone who had some sort of basic education in his youth, but subsequently, as years and decades went by, he forgot about the enterprise of Shabbos. In both cases, he brings one chatas. Then, the second case in the Mishnah is someone who's Yodea Iker Shabbos. He knows about the essence of Shabbos. He doesn't know that today is Shabbos. And now, if he does this consecutively on many different Shabbosos, he brings a separate chatas for each Shabbos. And then we have the third case. He knows that today is Shabbos, but he forgot the malachos, and then he has to bring a separate chatos for each malacha that he violated. For Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon, Lakish, the Amri Chavayu, Dafka, Hikil, Abisov, Shachach, Aval Tinok, Shanish, Rabbein Agoyim, Vigeshen, Isgai, Ben Anokrim, Potur. And this, Rabosai, means the following, and it's honestly, this is so intuitively logical. A person who had a Jewish education, and he once knew about Shabbos, you could argue that he has a certain element of shkaga. Shkaga means of negligence. He knew about Shabbos and he shouldn't have forgotten about Shabbos. He got so involved in, you know, for decades and decades in his as a CEO in his business, making millions, that he forgot about the enterprise of Shabbos. There is some element here of shichacha. Shichacha equals shogeg and generates a chiyuv chatas. Masha Einken, in the case of a Tinok Shenishba and the Ger that we spoke about, he never knew about Shabbos. What kind of shichacha, what kind of shogeg, what kind of negligence can you accuse him of? And therefore says Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish against Rav and Shmuel, not even a single chatas, not even one chatas. You can only be mechayev and mechatas if he once knew about the enterprise of Shabbos. Meisvei, what about a brisa? Klal gadol amru b'Shabbos, kol ha-shocheach ikar Shabbos, v'yosu malochas harbe b'Shabbos harbe, eino chayev ela achas. Ketzad. What's the case, the brisa asks? We only wish the Mishnah had done so, could have saved a lot of time. And what is the case in this opening line of shocheach ikar Shabbos? Right, we had the Mishnah of Hashokheach Ikar Shabbos, and we were wondering what the pshat in the Mishnah is. And now the Braisa tells you exactly what it means, Kol Yodea, Kol Hashokheach Ikar Shabbos. Tidok, Ketzah, what is it? Tidok Shanish Ben Agoyim, and Gershon is Gai Ben Anochrim. Asim Alochas Harvish, Abbasis Harbein, Uchayev Alachas. Now, if you stop here in the Braisa, you really wonder why Rav and Shmuel had to discover America here. Why did they just quote this Braisa? I mean, Rav and Shmuel are really just reiterating word for word what it says in the Braisa. Maybe they weren't aware of the Braisa. But again, this Braisa is black and white against Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish. The Braisa says that a Tinok Shenishba and the Gershon is Gaia, they have to bring one Chatas for all the violations of the myriad number of Shabbosas they violate. Even though you could call them an ones, they never even knew about Shabbos. Then the Braisa continues, V'chayev al adam achas, v'al achilev achas, v'al havoda zora achas. Okay, this is a part of the Braisa that's going to occupy our minds front stage as we go through this perek, but let's just mention it as we go along. And again, as I say, this is going to be a major topic. There's something called Shemos Harbe, which is identical to Isurim Harbe. So what happens is, he violates many different Isurim, what's called Behelem Achas. Now, if we had a whiteboard, I would have to write that phrase, because that's one of the key phrases in this perek. Helem, Hey, Ayin, Lamed, Mem, Achas. Halama means he wasn't aware of the Isur, and he violated more and more Isurim until after the whole slew and series of violations, then he finds out about his shkaga, about his violation. So he ate dam, and he ate chelev. Dam and chelev are both chayev kores b'mezin, and therefore b'shogeg, they generate a chiyuv chatos. Avodah Zorah, which is a chiyuv misa, if there were Edom and Asra, or in the absence of Edom and Asra, you get Kares, if it was done b'mezid. So if he violated Avodah Zorah b'shogeg, which is very hard to understand how a person could violate Avodah Zorah b'shogeg, and the Gemara is going to discuss that later on in the perek. In all these cases, it was Behelim Achas. In other words, it's only after he violated this entire series of Isurim that he finds out about his Shkaga. Somebody tells him, hey, you know what you ate? It was Dam. You know what you ate? It was chalef. You know what you did? You worshipped an idol. In such a case, he has to bring a separate chatas for each one of the violations. Because shemos mechalkim, every iser, if it's categorically different than the other one, generates its own chatas. Umunbaz poter. Now, there's a Tana called Munbaz. He was a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, but a contemporary of Rabbi Akiva. And he says that a person never learned about Shabbos. He was brought up in a monastery, never heard of Shabbos. He's not chayef. He doesn't have to bring a chatos. V'chein haya munbaz don lifnei Rabbi Akiva. And Munbaz, as let's say a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, he presented a yalfusa, a derivation to prove that in the case of a Tinok Shenishba, he would not bring a Chatos, what he finds out about Judaism, about Shabbos. Now what's his derivation? He says the following. He's going to compare two Psukim, one in the parish of Mezid, one in the parish of Shogeg, and in both cases the Torah uses the same word Chet. Ho elu Mezid Korui Chet. Okay, so now we're opening up the beginning of Sefer Vayikra. It says, Nefesh ki sechta, umol abomal, etc., etc. We're talking about a deliberate violation. V'shogeg kori chote. Okay, and now we're going back to the beginning of Sefer Vayikra, a little bit earlier. And there, in the case of shogeg, where the Torah says he has to bring a chatos, the Torah likewise uses the word chet. So I have a chumash here, maybe we can look it up, but we'll trust Munbaz for the time being. So since the Torah uses the word chet both in Mezin and in Shogeg, Ma mezid we have to equate it to ma mezid shahoisa lo yedia af shogeg shahoisa lo yedia. Now at this point, again we're going to see it changes in just a minute, but the Gemara thinks that what Munbaz's point is that both shogeg and mezid have one lowest common denominator, and that is hoisa lo yedia. He was once aware of the prohibition, as opposed to tinok shenishba or the ger shenisgayer. They were never clued in on this prohibition, and they never had a yediyah. There's no way, no how, that you could define their actions before they find out about Shabbos as a chet. Chet has to be similar to mezid, because the same word chet that applies in shogeg for the chiyuv chatas in that parasha also appears in the parasha of mezid. Chet. Well, you have to admit, says Smunbaz, the lowest common denominator to that word chet in both mezid and shogeg has to be yedias ha'avera. And in the case of tinok shenishba, there was never a yedias ha'avera. Omar lo Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva says, you know what? If you're right, Munbaz, and there's an equation chet between mezid and shogeg, the mezid should go even further and teach me something more. Hareini Mosif al Dvarecha. I'm going to add something to extend your argument. But don't be fooled over here, because you know it sounds like Rabbi Akiva is on Munbaz's side, and I'm going to be Mosif, as if to say I'm going to give you more power to the people. But it's just the opposite. Hareini Mosif al Dvarecha means that if we take your logic to its conclusion, we're in deep trouble. We're going to get to a position that's untenable. Why? Because ima mezid. If you're talking about comparing mezid to shogeg, because both are considered chet, let's go a step further. Chaisa yadia b'shas maisa. Not only was the mezid taught in his youth about this prohibition in the Torah, but not only that, he was aware of the prohibition when he deliberately violated it. Is af shogeg, but by virtue of your equation, what constitutes a chet? It's got to be a chet that's similar to mezid, shahoisalo yediyah b'shas maisa, that he was aware of the prohibition at the time of the violation. Now, Rabosai, this is a pella, because what is Rabbi Kiva saying to Munbaz? Basically, it sounds like he's telling Munbaz, you've reduced the concept of shogeg to naught, to a null set. In other words, you're equating shogeg to mezid. So if you're going to equate shogeg to mezid, then shogeg equals mezid. He had a yediyah b'shas maisa. If he had a yediyah b'shas maisa, then you wonder why he's a shogeg. Why is he getting away with the chatas? Omar lo, so Mudba says the following. Hein, you know what? I'm going to accept your extension of my chet, my equation between mezid and shogeg. The kolshkein shosafta. And therefore you certainly have added to my presentation, to my ruling. Omar lo, so Rabbi Kiva says to him, but lidvarecha, according to your logic, Munbaz, ein ze kori shogeg el mezid. If you're telling me you had yediyah b'shas maisa, because you're equating shogeg to mezid, then call him a mezid. And at this point, the Gemara drops the dialectic between Munbaz and Rabbi Akiva, and Munbaz's counter argument to Rabbi Akiva is going to be for tomorrow, the next daf that we get to. So I'm giving you a little bit of tension, you know, that you should come back tomorrow. But what we're going to stop now in the middle of this dialectic in order to analyze the Braisa. The Braisa says, what is HaShokheach Ikar Shabbos? It's a case of a Tinok Shenishba Ger Shenisgayer. K'toni Mios Ketzad. It says, what is HaShokheach Ikar Shabbos? It's a Tinok Shenishba. Is Bishleim El Rav Shmuel Nicha? That's exactly what Rav Shmuel hold. El Rav Yochrei Shlokish is Kasha. We don't know. You know, we don't know exactly how to interpret this Braisa according to Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Shimon Lakish. Basically, the Braisa is an outright, explicit contradiction to the position of Yochanan and Shimon Lakish, because the Braisa goes on record as saying that if a Tinok Shenishba never ever knew about the entity of Shabbos, he will bring, when he finds out about Shabbos, a Chatas for all, one single Chatas, but a Chatas nevertheless, as a Shogeg, for all his violations during his entire lifetime. Amal Charesh Lakish Rabbi Yochanan, Lo Mi Iko Munbas de Potar, and I'm the Amrina, Bekim Munbas. Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish say that, you know what? We're going to stand on the shoulders of Munbas. And Munbas was the one who said that a Tinok Shenishba has no... you cannot categorize him as a Shogeg because he's not at all similar to a Mezid. The Chet Chet will teach me that a Shogeg also has to have a Yediyah. This person, a Tinok Shenishba, never had a Yediyah. But interesting is that at this point, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, and we thought that we were empathizing, we thought that logic was intuitive, nevertheless, they have to stand on the shoulders of one single Tana named Munbaz against the Chachamim who are presented here in the Reisha of this Braisa, and against Rabbi Akiva who argues against Munbaz. My time of the Munbaz. Now let's get back to the logic of Munbaz. Tichsiv. The Torah says, this is in Sefer Bamidbar, it says, Torah achas yilachem li'osa b'shkaga, which means the Torah is equating shogeg with mezid. And that's called Torah achas. Somechle, immediately following that pasuk, it says, v'nefesh eshatasa bi'ad rama, a person who violates a law of the Torah deliberately. So the contiguity or the flow of the psukim indicate a certain hekesh. He gives shogeg lemezid. The Torah is equating shogeg to mezid. Ma mezid shoysa yedia, af shogeg hoysa yedia. So the tinok shenishba is excluded, he never had a yedia. And again, we haven't yet argued Rabbi Akiva's debate against Munbaz, but if so, you've broken down the entire distinction between Shogeg and Mezid. The Gemara says for Rabbanon, what do they do with this Pasuk Torah Achas, which is explicitly addressing the case of a Shogeg, and the next Pasuk addresses Yad Ramah, a Mezid? Hi Torah Achas, my Avdi Bey. Avdi Bey, what do they derive from this Pasuk Torah Achas? Mi Boile, Kidde, Makri le Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi lebre. Makri means he taught him. In other words, Rabbi Yeshua was teaching his son, and they got to the pasuk Torah achas yilachem li osa b'shkaga uksiv. And we'll start tomorrow's daf a little early, which is fine. That's always good in these very hard sugyas to get a little jump start. So on the top of Samach Tes, v'chisishku v'lo sasu es kol mitzvah sa'ela, which means that with regard to chatos, if you violate any of these isurim, which are similar to that context, which is avodah zarah, and your chayv kores b'mezid, you bring a chatos b'shogeg uksiv, and then the Torah says v'nefesh shatasa bi'ad rama. So why did the Torah say Torah achas and then speak about shkaga? Because the context of the pasuk is avodah zarah. Hukshu kulam l'avodah zarah. All these psukim that tell you yechayev a kares or yechayev shkaga are all equated to avodah zarah. Avodah zarah becomes your paradigm. And what does that teach us? Mala halon dover shechayev malzdono kares. The Torah says explicitly that if somebody violates avodah zarah in a deliberate way, he knows what he's doing. There was no hasra, there was no warning. In such a case, he's chayv kares. And if he does a violation of avodah zarah bishkaga, again, as I mentioned earlier, that's a very tough scenario to imagine that somebody violates avodah zarah bishkaga. The Torah says explicitly that he has to bring a korban chatos. Is af kol dover shechayov and al zdono kares? Is al shigigoso chatos? Any avera which is so severe that if he violates it deliberately, he brings he's chayev kares. If he violates it inadvertently, without intention, bishgaga, he brings a karban chatos. Now, tomorrow's shiur will begin, Mirtz Hashem, with the Ella Munbaz Shgaga Bimai. And that is on line, let's see, on Samach Tes Amud Aleph, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines down from the top. And now we have to face the music, because Rabbi Akiva pointed out that if Munbaz, you're accepting an equation between Mazen and Shogeg, then you've basically reduced the distinction between the two to naught. What is a Shogeg? He has to have a Yedia. Not only has to have a Yedia Savera, he needs a Yedia Savera B'Shas Maisa. No, if he has a Yedia Savera B'Shas Maisa, he's aware of the violation when he implements it, then he is amazing. Why do you call him a Shogeg? Why does he get off the hook with a Chatos? And that's the most question for tomorrow. V'Ela Munbaz Shgaga Bimai. Okay, if there are any questions, now's a good time to ask.
There was a king Munbaz, wasn't there? Oh. Is that the same person?